life needs to be driven by more than what you feel. Your life needs to be driven by a sense of what is right for me to do, regardless how I feel at the moment or at the time. Amen?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Joshua Hollick. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, and I'm wondering, are you new to Chicagoland? Have you moved and not landed in a healthy church home yet? My prayer for you and our prayer for you and Pastor Mark's here at Straight Talk is that you would find a strong, healthy church to be a part of, to invest in, and also to grow with. I know for me, over the last 17 years, being a part of a vibrant church has been one of the greatest things that has helped me grow in my walk with faith. It's helped my family grow. It's helped me develop in every area of my life. And we're praying that you would find a great church to be a part of, especially if you're new to the area. You got to come and visit us. We're in your neighborhood probably. There's 23 locations around the city of Chicagoland. And you can find out more at www.newlifechicago.org. There's lots of great churches in the city, and we pray that you would find one of them. If you're having a hard time, come and give us a visit. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning in English, in Spanish, and even in Mandarin. So check us out at newlifechicago.org and find a church somewhere and get involved. May God bless you and may He bless the local congregation in your neighborhood.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue with Pastor Mark's brand new series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. And tonight our text will be found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Disciplines That Make a Difference.
My mind was saying, hey, keep going because this is good for you. But my body was saying, stop, take a break. See that person beside there walking? Why don't you just walk instead of run? You know, your body says, this is hard, this is a little painful, why don't you stop? And I tell you, for the first 2 months of doing this jogging on a regular basis, it was like a dread. It was like, oh, I got to do this. I know I should. I don't want to. My body doesn't want to. But I tell you what, after a while, as your body acclimates to a new habit, a new discipline, something really strange, I actually enjoy it now. Why? Because you develop a habit. And as you begin to do a habit long enough and begin to reap the benefits of it, you begin to see the benefits in your own life, and you develop this sense of this is good for me, and I've overcome the most painful part of it, and now it's a routine in my life, and you begin to experience new levels of energy and strength and just feeling a little bit more fit. That's the same way it is with our spiritual life. You see, some of us, when we talk about having a daily quiet time with God, it's just really hard for you to envision that. And you get up, you say, Pastor, I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I don't get out of bed. I roll out of bed. And I hit the alarm clock 3 times. And finally, when my wife finally pushes me out with her foot, then I get up, but I'm in no mood to talk to anybody. And I'm in no mood to pray and meditate on scripture. I just want my coffee. And so to get up in the morning and to try to get into the word and read a little scripture and pray, that is like torture to me to even think about it. And here's the thing. Most habits, when we first start them, are difficult. But if we begin to persist, and if you talk to people that have been having their devotions for years, I think you'll hear this story. Man, I can't even envision having a day without starting off with some prayer and time with Jesus because I can't function without it. And you see, you talk to someone that's not doing the habit and they say, how do you do it? And you talk to someone that's already doing the habit and they'll say, how can you survive without it? You see, it's the pattern of starting a habit in your life that at times is, you say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to love Jesus. And if it doesn't come from my heart, I don't want to do it. Really? Now, is that your approach to all of life? Because if that's your approach to all of life, you're going to miss work a lot. You see, sometimes we have double standards with spirituality. Well, if I don't come from my heart, it's not sincere, I don't really do it, and I just don't do it because I really want to, I don't want to be a hypocrite, I want it to come from my heart. Okay, so the last time you prayed was 2 weeks ago because it came from your heart. Let me tell you, I want you to try that with your boss sometime. Hey, why aren't you at work today? Well, I just didn't feel like I was going with the right attitude with all my heart, so I just decided not to come into work today. But when you coming back? When I can go with a good heart and I'm going to work with all my mind and all my heart. Really? You see, you understand that you get in this habit of I do this regardless of how I feel because what I should do and my discipline overrides my emotion. And if your life is driven by emotion, you are one big roller coaster because your life needs to be driven by more than what you feel. Your life needs to be driven by a sense of what is right for me to do, regardless how I feel at the moment or at the time. Amen? Amen? That's called discipline. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You see, discipline needs to be married with desire, and when discipline and desire come together, it creates devotion. I'll never forget years ago when I was a college student, I was studying at Moody Bible Institute downtown, and the current president at that time was George Sweeting, and he had written a bunch of books, and he was doing evangelistic crusades and leading this Bible school and so forth. And I'll never forget, I raised my hand, we were in a little discussion group, and I said, how do you get all this done? And where do you have time to write and lead these conferences and run a big institution? I mean, how do you get all this done? And he looked at me and he said, young man, that's when I was young, young man, he said, discipline, not desire, in the end, determines destiny. Wow. Discipline, not desire, in the end, determines your destiny. You see, we all have desires. But the question is not what do you desire. The question is what do you desire enough to act on? What do you desire enough to begin to implement a habit in your life to reach it? You say, well, I really want to play the piano. That's good. How often do you practice? Well, I don't, but I really want to learn to play the piano. Well, I'm going to tell you something. 5 years from now, you're going to say, I really want to learn to play the piano, and you will not be any better at playing the piano than you currently are. Because that's a pipe dream without the discipline that leads to action. I really want to buy my own house. Well, that's good. Let me ask you, so what's your savings plan? Well, I don't really have one. Can I tell you, it's a pipe dream unless you put a plan into action and discipline yourself to set money aside. Hey, I really want to run a marathon. Oh, that's great. So what's your plan of action? How often do you jog? Well, I don't. But I watch joggers on TV, and I really am studying the form. Well, let me tell you, you won't run a marathon. Because unless there is discipline that accompanies your desire, you will not arrive at the destination that you envision. And it's the same with your spirituality. You desire to be like Jesus, and I'm glad. That should be the ultimate desire of every believer's heart for their character to be transformed. You desire to be spiritually mature. You desire to be used of God. You desire to be a godly man or a godly woman. You desire to lead your marriage in a godly way. Or you desire to raise your children in a godly way. You desire to be used of God in ways that are beyond you. But the question that I have is, what are you doing to prepare yourself for that? What disciplines are you practicing that will alter your character? And if it's just a desire and there's no discipline, then it's just a pipe dream. You see, Paul tells young Timothy, Timothy, if you're going to be godly, godlike, and God-conscious, it requires discipline in your life. Now, let me say two other quick things about this area of discipline. You see, I also believe that typically there'll be no change in our life until we are so dissatisfied with the way things are that we're motivated to change. You see, we don't change until we get dissatisfied. If I talk to you right now and say, well, okay, tell me about physically, how you doing? I think I'm okay physically and pretty healthy. Chances are you probably won't exercise if you're happy with the way things are. If I ask you about your spirituality and you say, well, you know, I'm not where I should be, but I'm a lot better than what I was, and I'm a lot better than Joe over here, let me tell you. He's got issues. You want to pray for someone? Pastor, don't pray for me. This guy, big prayer. So if you're sort of content with where you're at spiritually, or you think you've really advanced spiritually, and there's not an inner dissatisfaction with where you're at, you probably won't be motivated enough to take action steps. Because most of the times when I change, there has to be something deep inside that I'm dissatisfied with. You say, well, how does that come? Well, let me tell you how it comes. You see, when I see people that think they've grown, but are sort of content where they're at spiritually, and sometimes we have this false sense of progress in our life. You know, you've been saved for 5 years, and God has changed you around, and you know, you've gotten rid of the big habits, the things that you really worked on before, and you used to go out, and every other weekend you'd snort a line of cocaine, and you know you're done with that. And you know, you used to go out and you know you'd bar hop and party and get drunk every other week, and you're done with that. And you used to go out and you were having sex with your girlfriend all the time, and so you've put a stop to that. And you'd go out with the buddies and get in brawls and fights and cussing this, and you put a stop to that. And so you look at your life and you just stopped smoking 5 months ago, and you look at your life and you say, you know, all the biggies are dealt with. I mean, I'm like pretty Christian here. I mean, I can't think of any other major thing in my life. Sure, I got issues, and I can't think of any other major thing in my life that needs to be dealt with. I mean, I think I kind of have arrived. Uh-oh.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Disciplines That Make a Difference, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Habits. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Disciplines That Make a Difference.
You see, here's what I know about you. If that's your mentality, you have a long way to go. Here's what I know about inner discontentment. You see, that kind of thinking is comparing yourself to who you used to be and comparing yourself to your old friends. But you see, the standard that will create discontentment in your life is not who you used to be and the progress that you've made. The standard that will create a dissatisfaction within your soul that'll cause a deep, powerful inner longing for change is when you are exposed to the holiness and presence of Almighty God. Amen. And you're exposed to the beauty of His radiance and the holiness of His glory and the standard of His perfection. And when you see God lifted up in all of His might and glory, it will create within you a deep desire, a revolutionary desire within your soul to say, God, I am so far from Jesus, so far from the image of your son. There's a lot of change in me that still needs to take place. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was in the temple and he saw God lifted up in all of his glory. And he didn't say, cool, look at the angels flying around. Awesome. Wow, what a powerful experience. The Bible said as Isaiah fell flat on his face and he said, woe is me, for I am a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I need change. You see, he had to be exposed to the standard of God's holiness. If you recall the Apostle Paul, remember the Apostle Paul? He talks about himself, and it seems like the more he gets into his life, the more he realizes how much change needs to happen. You see, if you're comparing yourself to the old self, you say, I've made a lot of progress. But you see, your standard is not the old you. Your standard is Jesus. And I'm glad you've gotten rid of those habits. And those were huge. And I don't want to undermine those. I want to say, bravo, praise God. Thank God. Those are huge things that you struggled for years to get rid of. And I'm glad you're done with those old big habits. But now the real work starts. Now God's working on your pride. How about selfishness? Egotism. Anger issues, self-centeredness, integrity. Ooh. Big. You see, the closer you get to the light of God's glory, the more you will see your need for change. And you see, when you are exposed to God's glory, and I can't do that for you. It is God and the Holy Spirit that has to do that to you. So you need to either be shocked to a certain degree that causes a motivation in your soul, or another thing that can bring about change is you have to learn enough that you want to change. You see, you have to be exposed to get so dissatisfied that you need to change, or learn enough that you want to change, or have a goal in your mind as you see Jesus in all of his glory lifted up so that you are willing to pay the price for change in your life. The Bible talks about going from glory to glory to glory. Some of us get stuck at the first glory, and there's not two or three glories in our life. We're just glory. Okay, no more. But the Bible says from glory to glory to glory we're transformed. Third point I want to bring up here. I'm talking about how to change. You see, the habits that lead to godly character will have an impact on every area of your life. You've heard the old adage, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap a destiny. It is the habits of your life that form your character. And here's the thing. Here's what it says in this verse. Listen. Verse 8. For physical training is of some value. I mean, it's okay to exercise. It's great. You should. You should get in shape. In fact, I believe that our body, soul, and spirit are linked together. And I think that oftentimes when your body is not under discipline, when you're not saying no to your body, no to things that your body wants, no to when your body wants the junk food, or no when your body doesn't want to get up and climb the stairs, and when you're saying yes to your body becomes lazy. And I think there's something about self-discipline in your body that has a domino effect to your soul and to your spirit as well. You see, you are composed of body, soul, and spirit, and they're all linked together. And so I believe that habits in your body and in your soul and your spirit are tied in hand and help create a spirit of discipline about our life. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, physical training is of some value. Limited value. It's good, but it's limited. But listen, but godliness has value for all things. The word here is has profit for all things. When you develop a godly spirit through training and discipline, When you develop a godly spirit, it will affect, listen to me, it will have repercussions or a ripple effect on every area of your life. You see, as you become more godly, it affects your marriage. When you become more godly, it affects how you parent and raise children. As you become more godly, it affects how you tackle your work and your job. As you become more godly, it affects the way you manage your finances. As you become more godly, it affects your emotional state of being. It affects your mental health. It affects every single area of your life is affected by your godliness. Your training and exercise affects a limited area of your life, but godliness splashes over to every area of your life. It will change every single area of your life. It'll influence every area of your life. And if that's not enough, it actually, look what it says. It has promise for both the present life, and listen, and the life to come. You see, it's not just for now. It affects glory. So if anything in life you need to set your mind to do is, God, I want to begin to train myself. I want to develop the habits that lead to godliness. Now, here's what I'm going to do next week. Next week, I'm going to give you a challenge. You need to be here. Next week, I'm going to give you a 21-day challenge, a three-week challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you four habits. We're going to start off, and for 3 weeks straight, I'm going to ask you to practice four habits. And I'm going to challenge you to practice these habits every day for 3 weeks straight. Because if I can get you to practice these habits for 21 days, you are well on your road to developing habits that, if you intentionally stay with them, can last a lifetime. And 5 years from now, you're going to thank me and say, Pastor, I started doing that 5 years ago, and I am a different person now. Because I started implementing some habits that started with a day, and then 3 days, and then I made it to a week, and then 2 weeks, and ended it for 3 weeks, and then it spilled over to 3 months, and a year, and 2 years, and now I can't even imagine living life without this habit. It has altered my character and caused me to be more mature and more like Jesus. So, here's the question as I close up. Let me ask you this. What habits do you need to unlearn? And if I were to ask you to write on a sheet of paper the habits that you currently practice on a regular basis, daily, weekly, regularly, what would those habits be that affect your spiritual life? Or would you sit there staring at a blank piece of paper for a while going, what are the habits that are diehard in your life? What are the habits that you just don't miss that affect your spiritual life that you practice on a regular basis? Do you have any? Or is it real hit and miss in your life? Because if you have no consistent, real, strong, regular habits, let me tell you something. Your spiritual life is sputtering. Sputtering forward at a very slow pace. And 5 years from now, there'll be very little progress unless you get serious about developing some spiritual habits. Say, habits like what? Habits like getting in the Word. Habits like meditation. Habits like memorization. Habits like fasting. Habits like solitude with God. Habits like confession and repentance. Habits like private worship and celebration. Habits of giving. Habits that you can practice on your own that can have a long-term effect.
Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. Our next message will be called Word and Meditation. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team and Pastor Mark tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and have a great night. God bless.